With me and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. You've heard many sermons from Isaiah 6. This morning we're going to be talking about rediscovering God in dark seasons. Rediscovering God in dark seasons. You know, it's no mystery that we're living in dark times. It's not a mystery. You know, you can look around you and see the news. You can read the newspaper. You can, you know, turn on your computer, and as soon as your first page or your home page comes up, you know, some of you have MSN, you have Google News or Yahoo or whatever, and you'll see this is happening in the world and that's happening in the world. And you know, there's darkness in this age. And the reality is that even in the church, many of God's people are facing tumultuous trials. They're facing tumultuous seasons, going through various things that have afflicted them. Many are going through things emotionally, economically, and financially. Some even physically, and yes, many even spiritually. Spiritually going through times of brokenness. There are people that are hurting in dark seasons. But friends, if I can offer the word of sobriety, of encouragement early this morning, what I love about the word seasons is that it means it doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever. You see, there are some of us that we have been encountering hardships, weathering life's shifts for some time. And now while I can't say when it will end, I can't say that, and I can't say how it will end, what I can say is, despite knowing the when and the how, that we can still rediscover God even in the midst of dark times. It is possible, friends, that our confidence in God not be shaken even though we go through dark times. It is possible that our trust and our faith in God not be shaken. Now, that doesn't mean it won't be hit. The psalmist said in Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. My soul finds strength in him. He alone is my rock, my savior, my strong tower. I will not be greatly shaken. He didn't say he wouldn't be hit. He said I wouldn't be shaken. And the reality is that we will go through times when we are hit. We will go through times when we struggle. We will go through times where we even begin to doubt. And when I mean to doubt, I'm talking about that humanity doubt. Where if you can just breathe for a moment and remind yourself that you're still a person. You will go through times when you experience hardships that are beyond bearability as a human being. But the reality is that our confidence in God can remain intact. It can remain intact. Friends, simply put, it's possible to be broke and still be confident in God. It's possible to have emotional setbacks because we are human, but still be confident in God. It is possible to be victorious in God because we recognize that we're leaning on His strength and not our own. You see, one of the biggest problems with us in our faith today is that, you know, much of it has become our strength. We're trusting in ourselves, and when we begin to trust in ourselves, we begin to see that ourselves can only go but so far. You and I can only go but so far. We all have human limitations. And despite the seasons that we're going through, now this is not to say that God will not bless us and that we cannot claim the victories. That's not to say that. But what Paul says in Philippians 4:11, he says that in all things I have remained content. That contentment came from God. That contentment came from God because he understood that despite the shaking of a season, despite the adversities and the dark times of the age, he did not have to be shaken in his heart. You see, church, in the age that we live in, the Lord is still speaking loud. He's still speaking loud. In the darkness, God is still speaking loud. In the economic arena, God is still speaking. In the political arena, God is speaking. He's speaking. In the social arena, God is speaking, and in the church arena, he has still been speaking, and he's still speaking, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, now is not the time, nor has it ever been the time, to put our trust in people. Now is not the time, nor has it ever been the time, to put your trust in men, to put your trust in any type of system. The only trust that we were meant to trust in is trust in God, faith in God, believing in God, who is our everlasting strength. He is our everlasting strength. You see, friends, we can watch the news and it'll strike fear in us. You can. It'll strike fear in you. You can watch the news and it'll begin to churn the hearts of people. But friends, family, brothers, and sisters, again, I ask you the question as Isaiah asked this question. He said, whose report will you believe? And the question is still speaking aloud even now in this age. Whose report will you believe? You see, the news can say what they want to say. They can say what they want to say. A physician can say what he wants to say. A banker can say what he wants to say. Anyone can say what they want to say. We live in a nation of free speech. So far, free speech. And as a nation of free speech, we have the right to speak what we want to speak. But the reality is that despite what we say, God's word is final. God's word is final. And God has a word that supersedes all words. And the word is, do not trust in people. Trust in God. Trust in God. Believe in God. You know, one of the things that causes a lot of division, especially in a church, are politics. Causes a lot of division. Growing up in school, they always used to tell us, you know, there's a couple things you don't talk about at the dinner table. You don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about religion. You don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. But the reality is that politics are very much a big part of God's word. They're very much a part of God's word. The prophets rebuked kings, both godly kings, ungodly kings, kings from the nation of Israel and kings from outside the nations. So politics are very much a very big part of God's word. And in this election year, yes, as God's people, we are encouraged to vote kingdom values. But friends, I also have news for you. I want you to hear this. I really want you to hear this. If you are putting your faith in a vote to think that the system is going to shift because of a vote, then you are sorely misinformed. Because no man can do what only God can do, despite who's in office. Despite who's in office, regardless of Romney, regardless of Obama, regardless of who's in office, the only one that can do anything is God. And the reality is that what's going to shift the nation of God is when the people of God get back on their knees, when the people of God begin to pray, when the people of God stand up. You see, the church has no right to speak when the church has been silent. The church has no right to speak when the church has been silent. And when the church rises up and begins to speak on the authority of God's word as prophets that God has called us to be in these last days, that is what will shake the atmosphere. You want to know why the world can run over the church? Because the church is silent. In dark times, the church is silent. We hide. We hide. We hide behind a vote. Come on now. You see, in the midst of darkness, it's failure to trust in people. You see, when we rediscover people, we'll rediscover people. But when we rediscover God, He alone will be our refuge. He alone will be our salvation. Despite the season, despite the darkness, we will always be victorious. And like the psalmist of old in Psalm 27:13, we will be able to say, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the land of the living. That means in the here and in the now. I will be able to see it now. I will be able to see it now. You see, church, I believe this with all conviction. You know, Warren G. Harding, he once said that if we forget about God, then we as a nation have already lost. If we forget about God, we as a nation have already lost. And I believe this with all conviction based on the prophetic of God's word and the precepts that he has given us for living, that the reason why our nation, the reason why that many of our churches are where they are is because the church and the nation have forgotten about God. They've forgotten about God. You see, it is a timeless message that has trajected throughout the generations. It has flown throughout the generations, and it has been the prophetic message from Genesis to Revelation that God's people forget about God. In the garden, they forgot about God. The nations in the book of Judges forgot about God. Judges is one of the darkest books. It's a dark book. King Solomon forgot about God. He really forgot about God. And he thrusted the nation into a cycle and a pattern of constant upward and downward shifts of remembering God, forgetting God, remembering God, forgetting God. And the cycle continues even now today. We still see people trusting in people, going through the same cycle of gaining the same results of what happens when we trust in people. You see, we live in an hour where self-interest is at an all-time high. It is as an all-time high. And the words of the apostle are ringing aloud. He says this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. He says, men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Sounds really familiar, right? Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Sounds like now. Church, we live in an hour where many in the church don't even know where to turn. The church itself has become a formula. It's become a system, another institution. We come here on a Sunday morning, we lift our hands, we sing our pretty songs, we give our offering, but we forgot why we came here. We came here to meet with Jesus. You see, it's an old-fashioned message that has lost the interest of many Christians, because looking to Jesus, and I'll be honest with you, looking to Jesus doesn't always mean a quick fix. It doesn't always mean a quick fix. It doesn't always mean that everything happens our way right away. But what it does mean is that when our lives are in his hands, the scripture says in Romans 10, 11, that those that trust in the Lord will never be brought to shame. Those that trust in the Lord will never be brought to shame. You see, one of the biggest discrepancies in our faith is that we think that our being brought to glory is only in this life. But if heaven is a greater reality that supersedes what we see in the here and now, then we know that we will never be brought to shame, whether by life or by death. We will be glorified in Christ. We will be glorified in Christ. You see, Isaiah 6 opens up with a very similar state of affairs as what we are in today. Look at the passages I read. I'm going to read the first 10 verses here. Actually, I read the first 9 verses. Just listen, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. And with 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth. Everyone say the whole earth. The whole entire earth, saints, is filled with the glory of God. The entire earth is filled with the glory of God. Verse 4 says, and the posts of the door were shaken, and the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs of the off the altar. And he touched my mouth, and with it he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sins have been purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, and do not perceive. You see, as I mentioned a moment ago, Isaiah 6 opens up in a state of affairs that is very much similar to the state that we are living in right now. Very much similar. Politically, the nation is in ambivalence. The king is dead. Uzziah is dead. And when you read about Uzziah in the book of 2 Kings and in the book of 2 Chronicles, you read about his life, and at one point he started off as a godly king, and then he got lifted up in pride and decided to set himself at a place, was cursed with leprosy, and he was banished. He was banished. But prior to this, if you read the first five chapters of the book of Isaiah, all you get filled is with doom and gloom. That's all you hear. I mean, starting from Isaiah chapter 1, he calls the people literally Sodom and Gomorrah. First, he starts off with a simile, and he says, you are like Sodom and Gomorrah. Then I love how he switches it to a metaphor, and he says, now you rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he goes from, you are like this, to now you are this. So Isaiah is filled with all this knowledge. He's filled with all this revelation of what the nation and what the state of affairs looks like. And now the godly king has just died. Now a godly king has just passed away. And he also has history against him. You see, when he looks at, back at the lineage of kings, he can see the up and down cycle of the kings of Judah. One minute, one king was serving God. The next minute, the nation was in shambles. The next minute, another king was serving God. The next minute, another king was in shambles. I mean, it was a constant, perpetual cycle of ups and downs. Godliness was in question. The economy was in question. Now that there's no right leadership, what's going to happen with the people? What's going to happen with the people? But the scripture says something so powerful in the very first passage. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. You see, church, Isaiah's encounter with God teaches us some valuable principles that we as the church need to be reminded of this morning. Some things that need to be refreshed in the body of Christ today. The first one is that the church needs a fresh revelation of God. We need a fresh revelation of God. In the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. That's not to say that he didn't see the state of affairs. Because the reason why he was even crying out to God was because of the brokenness that was inside of him. The reason why he was crying out to God was because of how messed up he felt inside of him. But see, saints, what happens to us is that in difficult times, our view of God can often become obscure. It can become obscure. You see, I brought some toys with me this morning. I like to use toys. I'm a youth pastor. You know, we use toys. And it's a mirror. See if I can get that Eli right there in your face. It's a mirror, and it's dirty, all right? I pulled this out of somewhere, okay? And you see, as I look in this mirror, you know, it's kind of clear, but it's still dirty. And the reality is that this is exactly how life is. Life is like this. We look in through a window, we look in through a glass, and we can see clearly, but then all of a sudden, this happens to us. Good old baby lotion. Figure out, let me look for the greasiest thing in the house. All right. So then we go through stuff in our lives, and this is what happens to our view of God. It becomes obscure. We can't see clearly. We can't look clearly. And as we try to look deeper, we're sitting here even trying to find God in the cracks, trying to find God in the things that just aren't clear to us. And then all of a sudden, we start to question, where is God? We start to wonder, where is God in the midst of everything? Why hasn't God shown up yet? So one of the first things that we start to do is we start to run away from God. As the church, we start to run to our own ideologies. We start to run to our own precepts and our own principles, our own viewpoints. Friends, I got to tell you this morning. As much as I appreciate an existential mind, a mind that tries to search for meaning, in the kingdom of God, there's only one opinion that matters. Can I say that this morning? There's only one opinion that matters. It is the opinion of God. And God doesn't have opinions. He has declarations. It is His word. His word is the only thing that matters. So we can be filled with all types of opinions and things that we want, but the reality is that any opinion that we offer that sets itself against the standard of God is nothing more than an obscured view. It's an obscured view, and this is how we look. We're trying to find meaning. We're trying to find direction. And Isaiah was trying to find meaning. He's trying to find direction. He's here in the presence of God. He's filled with this state of ambivalence. In other words, he didn't know where to turn. His mind is everywhere. But he knew one thing. God had given me a bunch of revelations before. Let me turn to God again. So he turns to God. And the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. You see, what happens is that when we see God, I told myself I wasn't going to make a mess this morning. God starts to clear up our image. He starts to clear up what we see. And little by little, the more that we seek God, the more the obscurity is wiped away. The more the obscurity is wiped away. You see, in the presence of God, as Isaiah saw the Lord, God began to reveal himself to Isaiah the way that he needed to see God. And friends, in times of darkness, in times when life does not make sense, the place to turn is not yourself. The place to turn is not Fox News or NBC or CNN or MSN or whatever SN network they got out there, okay? It's not time to turn to any of these networks. It's not time to turn to anything else but what God has said. Because see, God's track record is proven. It's proven. You can look at the track record of people. And you can see the shakiness. Now, some are more consistent than others, and I praise God for consistent people. Okay? But the reality is that despite any person's level of consistency, there is always a time when people will fail. Because people are people, and people will fail. So if we put our trust in people, we will miss the revelation of what God has for us. We will miss what God is trying to show us in this hour. Church, you can look at this hour as a dark season, or you can look at this hour as a prophetic moment. You could look at it as a prophetic opportunity for the people of God to begin to rise up and stand on the authority of God's revelation and God's word and say that the time is now. The time is now for God's people to rise up. You see, God knows exactly how to reveal himself to us in our times of need. He knows exactly what to show us, exactly what we need, exactly at that moment. In this case, Isaiah needed a revelation of God's authority, God's power, God's holiness. He saw the Lord and he had just received a revelation of God despite the disappointments that he was feeling at that moment. Despite the disappointment he was feeling. You see, when we go through our battles, it's easy for us to jump ship in life. I'm going to be a little transparent with you this morning. I remember a few years back, I was going through a real difficult situation in my life. A real tough situation. Financially, health-wise, I was going through a situation. And I know many of you, you might say, Pastor Jose, how could you pray this following prayer? But I prayed this prayer. Before I went to bed at night, I said, Lord, I love you and I worship you, but don't let me wake up in the morning. Don't let me wake up in the morning. I was so broken. I felt like a failure as a father. I felt like a failure as a husband. I felt like I wasn't providing financially for my family. I felt like I couldn't give anything. And if there's one thing that just completely just messes you up, is that feeling of purposelessness, that feeling of failure. And I remember what happened the next day. I woke up. And I said, I guess it wasn't my time. But the reality is that a no is still an answer to prayer. And I thank God he didn't answer such a foolish prayer in the way that I wanted it. But the reality is that many times we feel exactly like that. Everything just seems to crumble all around us. Everything just seems to be shaking up underneath us. And we just want out. We just want out. We might have problems in the church, and the easy thing to do is just to get up and leave. We just want out. Problems in the home, and the easy thing to do is just get up and leave. Problems at work, just get up and leave. Problems in life, get up and leave. But friends, God has a revelation for you. God has a revelation. For me, my revelation was that I was able to breathe the next day. Because I was really hoping that it was over. Yes, I in ministry, as a pastor, as your pastor, and I'm pretty sure that every single pastor on staff can empathize with me on this. Because there are moments when you just feel so broken inside. You just don't want to keep going. And what I love about God is that his shoulders are so big. His power is so big that I can take it to him. I can take to him my fears. I can take to him my disappointments. I can come to him and say, God, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm confused, Lord. Everything just seems to be turning upside down, Father. Lord God, the nation is turning upside down. Father, the church just seems to be turning upside down. Lord God, my family just seems to be turning upside down. I can come to God, and despite the situation, despite the weight of the pain that I'm going through, I can come to God. And the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. In the time of brokenness, I saw the Lord. In the time when it didn't make sense, I saw the Lord. In the time when all hell broke loose in my life, I saw the Lord. In the time when my wife and I fought, I saw the Lord. In the time when I didn't have money to give offering, I saw the Lord. In the time when I didn't know if I had to pay my rent or pay my tithe, I saw the Lord. In the time when I didn't know if I had money to pay my electric bill, I saw the Lord. In the time when I didn't have money to pay my car payments, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. In the time when I was locked up in a hospital because I thought I was going to die, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. You see, friends, this morning, God has a way of revealing himself to us despite the darkness of the situation, despite the darkness of the moment, despite the ambivalence of the area, despite what we see is going on around us right now. God will show up. God will show up. You see, Christian, God is still in the business of revealing himself to his people. He's still in the business of revealing himself to his people. I saw the Lord. Saints, let me give you some revelation this morning. Every breath that you take, God is still at work. You're seated here this morning. God is still at work. Most of you have eaten or will eat. God is still at work. Jesus is not through with you yet. God is not through with you yet. As long as you have breath in your body, it can't get too bad. Jesus is not through with his church. Jesus is not through with New Life. Jesus is not through with America. I want you to hear this. You see, there's some of us, we've even thrown the towel in on America. We said, we've thrown the towel in even on this nation. And we say, this is a godless nation. No, no, no. God is not through with this nation. He's not through with this nation. As long as there remains a remnant in this nation, God is not through with this nation. You see, some of us, we're praying as though God is done already. He's not done. The church is still here. He's not finished yet. You see, church, this is why we pray all the time. The staff prays this over the body. And we pray this all the time. Paul prayed this. He says in Ephesians 1, 16 and 17, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see, church, what we need in this hour is a fresh revelation of who God is. You see, for some of you, you need a fresh revelation of his love. And this morning, his word is reminding you that he's not forgotten about you. He still loves you, and he's not given up on you yet. And he never will. He's reminding us as a body that he is not done. You see, when we seek God, God will reveal himself. And from fresh revelation, it will result in fresh impartation. Fresh revelation will result in fresh impartation. Listen to this, verses 6 and 7. It says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the tongs of the altar, and he touched my mouth. He touched my mouth. Let me stop there for a moment. You see, revelation, in other words, when we see God, it will always result in a fresh touch. It will always result in a fresh touch of God. Impartation is that transaction between what we have come to know and now what God is going to make us, or what we are now about to become. Imparting into us life. You see, when we come into the presence of God, when we come and we seek the Lord at his altar, he will show up, and we can put money on it that he will show up. Okay? He will show up for his people. He will reveal himself to his people. You see, whenever we are in the presence of God, a transaction will take place for those that have genuinely sought the Lord. Because God knows exactly how to touch his people. He knows exactly how to touch his people. This is why you can never monumentalize a move of God. And there's a lot of people that they do this. They monumentalize a move of God. We have one successful prayer meeting, and then all of a sudden we want to have prayer meetings all the time. Just prayer meeting, prayer meeting, prayer meeting, prayer meeting, prayer meeting. It's like, okay, yes, prayer meeting is important. We need to pray and seek the Lord, okay? But God desires to move in different ways. Or we might have one church service, and then all of a sudden the worship continues, and Pastor Maria never gets to preach. And we're like, man, it should be like this every week. It's like, yes, that would be great. That would be awesome. But God has a way that he desires to move. And he knows how to touch his people exactly in the moment that they need to be touched. You see, what we don't recognize is that the reason why God is moving at that moment is because that is the reason why he's moving at that moment. He has chosen to move at that moment because it's his reason. It's his reason. Why he decides to heal some and why not others is God's choice. We step out in faith and believe that he can do it all. It's his choice because he's God. But what we continue to do is we continue to push. We continue to pray. Some of us, we come out of the church service and say, well, I don't feel any different. This is where faith comes in. You see, if you believe that you've laid it down, if you believe that you've laid it down and you've laid it down at that moment, God has shown himself to you. He has shown himself to you. You are engaged. You are seeking his face. Then walk away knowing that God will show up. I want you to see this for a moment. After God reveals himself to Isaiah in Isaiah 6, the state of affairs didn't get any better. It didn't get any better. As a matter of fact, all he had to hold on to was faith. That God was in control. You see, when you read one of the longest prophetic books in the Bible, and Isaiah is a long book, okay, it's a long book, okay? When you read, yeah, long. When you read that book, you will see that it's split up into various parts. And you'll see the dark times, you'll see the high times, and then you'll see the eschatological times, the end times, okay? But in it all and through it all, one thing remained in Isaiah's consistency was that he remained in faith, believing that God would show up, believing that God would show himself mighty. You see, in this case, Isaiah's impartation was a fresh touch of God. God touched him away and purged him Okay, he said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. Why exactly Isaiah was impure or unclean, it's up for debate. I mean, there's so many theologians and scholars that have so many different viewpoints on why, but the reality is that we don't know clearly why. But what we do know is that he was upset. He was extremely upset at the state of affairs. Perhaps he was upset and he felt disappointed in God. Perhaps at that moment he said, God, you're nowhere to be found. And that's maybe why he said, I have spoken. I'm a man of unclean lips. But regardless of what he said or what he did, God still touched him in a fresh way. And friends, the revelation remains the same to us today, that in dark seasons, in dark times, God will still touch his people in a fresh way. He will still touch his people in a fresh way. You see, God touches his people because, friends, God wants us to move forward. He's preparing us to move forward. One of the biggest things that kills the body of Christ is stagnation. We become stale in the water. We become stale in the water. And in the moment of times of brokenness, the last thing we have to do as saints is remain stagnant. You see, friends, we will never ever begin to see the light that's at the end of the tunnel if we do not begin to move forward in faith and believe that God has touched us. You see, friends, every time I hear a word from this pulpit, I believe that God has touched this house. You see, every time I hear a song and I encounter the presence of God, see, I come here with faith and expectancy, believing I'm going to meet God. I come here every day believing I'm going to meet God. And I believe that every time I walk out of here on a Sunday, I meet God. I meet God. Every time I go into a prayer meeting, I meet God. Every time I pray or read my Bible, I meet God. You see, there's times, friends, where I don't even get up from the Bible, or I don't move on from a passage of scripture until God shows me exactly what he needs to show me. Because I have that Jacob type of cry, I will not let you go till you bless me type of deal. You got anybody know about that? Okay. But nonetheless, we have to move forward. You see, the Lord gave me a prophetic word. And I shared it with you guys a couple months back. And, you know, it's an amazing thing because twice I've said it, or twice it was revealed to me, and three times I heard it. Three times I heard it. One was from a very close ministry friend of mine. And the word was that this would be the year of increased visibility for the kingdom of God. That this would be the year for increased visibility. Friends, is it any wonder why we are under such attack? Is it any wonder why we are under such observation? Is it any wonder why we are under such thrusting of the enemy? It's because the enemy wants us to diminish our visibility, to hide, to not speak, because he knows that we have a word. He knows that we have something to take to this nation. He knows that we have something to take to the community. He knows that we have something to take into every arena of life. He knows that we have been imparted something that will shake up the very foundations of the world that is around us. We have been given the word of God. We have been given the word of truth. We have been called a prophetic people. We are Isaiahs. And we can step out into this world and we can proclaim, we can declare, but the enemy wants the church silent. He wants the church silent. The devil's been attacking emotions. The devil's been attacking families because he wants to keep you silent. See, he knows that if he can keep us from seeking a fresh revelation of God, then we won't get the fresh touch of God. And if we won't get the fresh touch of God, then we'll miss out on the fresh purpose. We'll miss out on fresh purpose. Look at verse 8 and 9, Isaiah 6. From the New King James Version, it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? You know, I read this and I say, wasn't Isaiah already sent? Don't we have 5 chapters before this moment? It's not often you read the calling of someone after they've already been called, unless you're Jesus. But here we got five chapters of Isaiah prophesying, and all of a sudden in chapter 6 he says, God kind of offers this question like, yeah, I'm going to ask you again, but I already know what you're going to say. He says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then Isaiah says, here am I, send me. You see, what I've learned about dark seasons, and I've learned this through experience, that dark seasons do not diminish, rather they heighten our purpose in God. They do not diminish. You see, in life, we have the tendency of looking at the difficult season and the threats of darkness and questioning as if this is all that there is to life. It won't get any better than this. And friends, that is one of the biggest lies of the enemy, that it will not get better than where you are. You see, what I love about this passage is that even in the midst of obscurity, God gives Isaiah fresh purpose again. He gives Isaiah fresh purpose again. And the fresh purpose that he gave him was to minister to the very obscure thing that he was battling with. Oh man, see, some of y'all, you missed that. Okay. The purpose that he gave Isaiah was to minister to the very obscure thing that was his problem. You keep reading the book of Isaiah, and everything is returned back to God. Return back to God. Return back to God. Return back to God. Though I have forsaken you for a moment, I will gather you with my wings. Okay, you will run through the fire and not be burned. You will run through the water and not drown. Okay, it is a constant, perpetual message of God's restorative power. He's saying, come back to me. Why was Isaiah a restorative prophet? Because he himself had been restored. Oh, you see, I got to preach this morning. You see, the reason why we can't get past the doom and the gloom is because we ourselves haven't been restored. So we can't give this world what we ourselves have not had. You see, there's some of us that, yes, we are Christians, yes, we are saved, but we're trying to minister out of brokenness. We're trying to minister out of flaw. And God's saying, no, let me touch you again. Let me touch you again, because I have something to give you, to impart to you, so that you can take it out to this world. Yes, in the book of Isaiah, yes, there was still doom and gloom. But it was followed up by, but yet, I will restore you. But yet. It is a constant pullback of God's love and saying, I've not forgotten about my people. I've not forgotten about my people. You see, friends, God's love for us, even in the midst of this dark time, is that he still has a plan for us. He still has a plan for you, saint. He still has a plan for this church. And I'm encouraging you that where you are is not all that there is. Where you are is not all that there is. God has not given up. God has not given up on this church. God has not given up on you. There's some of you that, just like what I shared about myself, you go to bed at night and you just wish by any chance that you would just wake up in eternity. But God is telling you this morning, he's like, I'm not through with you yet. I'm not through with you yet. Even in the book of Philippians, Paul was like, you know, I wish to be with the Lord. I really wish to be with the Lord. He was in jail when he wrote that. He said, I wish to be with the Lord, but I still have a purpose for the church. I still have a purpose for the church. That's why I'm still here. And saints of God, you have breath in your lungs this morning. You have blood flowing through your veins. And I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care how far you might have run. God is telling you this morning, come back, because I'm not through with you yet. I'm not through with you yet. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. Yes, take the burden. Take the ambivalence. Take the confusion. Take the disillusionment. Take everything that's going on with you at the moment to the foot of the cross. Take it to the Lord this morning. Lay it down before the Lord, and you too will see the Lord high and lifted up. You too will see the Lord high and lifted up. You too will see God in a way that you've never seen God before. In closing, God revealed to Isaiah two things. Number one, he said, I saw the King. I saw the King. And the second thing he said was, I saw the train of his robe fill the temple. Now, you've heard this revelation many times preached from this pulpit, but to refresh many of you, The train of a king's robe represented the greatness of his victories. In other words, the amount of victories he had determined the length of his train. And the Bible says that the train of God's robe filled the entire temple. In other words, there was a beginning, but he could see no end. He could see the beginning, which was God, but he could not see the end. In other words, they were innumerable. And saints of God, I want you to hear this morning, is that the victories of God over your life are innumerable. The plan that God has for you is innumerable. He's not giving up on his people today. He has not given up on his people today. So I encourage you, rise up. New life, rise up. New life, rise up. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads and be encouraged, because the best is yet to come. You hear this over and over again, but I'm speaking this word over the body of Christ again this morning, is that the best is still yet to come. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You will see healing. You will see miracles. You will see provision. You will see abundance. You will see godliness. You will see the kingdom of God advancing in this nation, in this time, in this hour, in this city, in this dark moments, despite what any agenda tries to push. You will see it as long as you continue to stay focused on God. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father, I thank you for your truth. Now sanctify us by your truth. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Lord, I pray this morning, Father, that as your word has been spoken, that your word would resound. That your word would resound. This morning, I want to talk to two people. The first one, and I never want to overlook anybody or assume that anyone has asked Jesus Christ into their hearts. If you've not asked Jesus Christ into your heart, or if you've been running away from Jesus, Jesus says, I'm not through with you. I want to come back into your life. I want to have relationship with you again. If you want to ask Jesus to come back into your heart, I just want you just to simply raise your hand, and I want to pray for you this morning. You want to ask Jesus to come back into your heart? Anyone this morning? I see your hand. I see your hand this morning. Anyone else? You want to ask Jesus? I see your hand. You want to ask Jesus to come into your heart? Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Praise God. Praise God. If you raise your hand, I'm just going to ask you to take one more step of faith. I'm going to ask you if you just come down to this altar. And if I could just have one male or female believer just to come down and meet them already down here, if you could. And if you would, just come down to this altar. Somebody's going to come and pray with you this morning. They're already down here. So just come and meet them this morning. They're going to come and pray with you right now. Hallelujah.